Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events, sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show tonight. This is your host, Kim Justice. I see we have people gathering in the chat room, as I'm sure they're gathering around their computers and telephones at home tonight. Tonight I wanted to talk about, we hear a lot of stories on the programs of how people have gotten traumatic brain injuries or how they've incurred aneurysms. A lot of times, like in my case, there wasn't any absolute proof as to where my aneurysm came from, and they gave me a list of the possible ways that that could have happened. Not the case with our guest tonight. This is a really tragic story, but we're very fortunate to have her with us tonight. Before I introduce Gina, which I guess I just did, I'd like to give you a few statistics. In the United States, 1 in 3 women, that's 1 in 3, will experience domestic violence at one time in her life. While men also experience domestic violence, 85% of the victims are women. Every 9 seconds, a woman is assaulted or abused. Every day in the United States, more than 300 women are murdered by their husband or boyfriend. Historically, females have been victimized by someone they know. And that was the case with our guest tonight. I'm going to introduce her right now, and then we'll go on to hear a little bit about her story. In deference to both she and I, who most of you know have both suffered from aneurysms and have memory problems and keeping on track kind of problems, I'm not going to be taking any questions toward until toward the middle to the end of the show so that we don't break her concentration. And now I am feel like we're very fortunate to have with us tonight Gina. Are you with us?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Gina. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I know that it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing, and I want you to know how much I and the audience appreciate this. Stories like yours, not enough of them are told, and with people like you sharing your experience, strength, and hope, there's a lot of women out there. When you're talking 1 in 3, and some of the other statistics I have here, obviously domestic violence is a huge problem, and people hearing stories like yours might be encouraged with the amount of bravery you have had through this whole process and go and seek help before it has to get as bad as it got with you, or perhaps even worse. I want the audience to know that we're right about at Gina's second anniversary, her beating, and I'm going to have you have Gina tell us her story, happened Halloween in 2010. So, Gina, can you tell us a little bit about what happened that night?
Well, actually, it was during the day. It was in the morning. And I had come home and thought I'd lay down for a nap before I had to be back at work. And, well, I don't really know what set him off, but about as soon as I laid down, I was woke up with my hair being pulled and being choked and told all kinds of horrible things. And it went on from there for over 2 hours. I was stomped on and beaten and drugged throughout the house by my hair.
Now, this was your boyfriend. I put it, do a little backstory. You were living with your boyfriend at the time, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And he had been out drinking the night before. You knew that, and you came to find out later that he had also been doing drugs that you didn't know anything about. So
yeah, I found out he was on drugs, and he'd been out drinking the night before and been acting just awful. So I stayed at a friend's place overnight because none of them felt comfortable with me going home to that because they could, well, I kept it a secret, but they were real worried. And so then when I came home the next morning, I figured he'd be sober, everything would be okay. But he had stayed up all night and had been drinking, and I didn't know that. And when I came home, he had just been done drinking for like a half an hour. So his mind wasn't there at all.
So he'd been drinking all night. He never really did stop.
No, and he had just laid down probably a half an hour before I walked in the door.
Okay, so you spent the night away because he was in such bad shape the night before and
yeah,
in bad enough shape that he scared, your friends were scared for you, so you spent the night at a girlfriend's, came home to get ready for mm-hmm. work, and I'm gonna take a leap here and just assume that in his state of mind, he accused you of being somewhere other than where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And is that perhaps
yep.
what set him off?
Yep, it was. I had stayed at a coworker's house, and well, it wasn't believed for a second, even when he called the coworker and asked her questions of details, asked me the questions, even though they all matched up because it's where I was, and still didn't believe me. And had me held by the throat at one point saying, tell me the truth, tell me you cheated, and I'll let you live. Well, I still didn't lie. I had done nothing wrong.
Right.
But I got beat some more. And it was awful. There's a lot of it I've blacked out.
Sure.
Like,
so
yeah, I'm kind of glad I don't remember parts of it, but I remember enough.
Yeah, I would say. Well, and so for a couple hours amidst accusations, he held you prisoner there in your own home and you underwent a severe beating. Can you tell us what happened as far as your injuries? I found this just, well, I guess after 2 hours of a beating, but I mean, honestly, give the audience the list of what you were left with after that episode.
Well, I was bleeding internally from my liver and my spleen. They were both had been annihilated, for lack of better words. And I had 8 broken ribs. My jaw was broken. I had both eye sockets broken. My cheekbone was crushed. I had to have about 14 stitches in my lip. I had broken teeth. And I think that's it for like broken stuff. I could be leaving something out if I am, I apologize. And I was one big, there wasn't a white spot on me from my waist to the top of my head. It was one big solid bruise.
And we have the picture for anybody who's called in tonight. If you do have access to your computer on the program page, we have some pictures flashing. Gina's a beautiful girl, and you can see that she had a moment, a few moments, as a result of this terrible, tragic episode where she was really put through the ringer, and she shared that photo as well. So just about everything you had was broken at that time. And so how did you get away? How did this episode stop? How did it end?
I was on the couch pleading for my life because I'd heard many of the bones break. And he was stomping on me, on my chest. And I was begging with what little breath I could get for my life. And he waited a while, stomped on me a few more times, then threw the phone at me and said, "I hope you die," then said a choice word. But he had thrown me the phone and let me call 911, and I could barely see to call 911.
Was he still there at that time after he threw the phone? Did he? Okay, so he was actually still there when you called.
Yeah, the only way I could make the call was if I promised to say that I was jumped outside my house by someone else.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I had to lie to the 911 operator just so that he'd give me the phone.
Wow.
And he was there when the ambulance came in, when the police came in. And it's a small town, so the police knew exactly what happened. They knew what happened to me, but since I said no, I got jumped. But he was still in the house. He was still there. I wasn't going to say anything.
My goodness. Yes, I didn't know that that part of it. I thought maybe he threw the phone at you and left the house, but he actually then coerced you into lying to be able to call the police, which you did do so that the ambulance and the police were able to come.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't think I would have gotten the phone back and probably would have died right there on my couch.
My goodness. So the ambulance took you away, and how long were you in the hospital?
They took me to the nearest hospital, and they really had no idea what to do for me. They didn't have I live, like I said, in a small community, and the hospital we have isn't the best. The closest hospital isn't one of the best, and they couldn't do the proper x-rays and everything, and so they had me taken by ambulance down to Des Moines, our capital, and they flew me down there and were able to run even more tests and found out so much more was broken than initially thought, and that I was indeed bleeding internally, and I kind of forgot what your question was. I apologize.
It's okay, and don't be nervous. Everyone here we've got a very compassionate audience here. Most of the people that are listening have survived a traumatic brain injury or aneurysm of some sort. Nobody's judging. It's a very supportive group, so just take a breath and keep going. You're doing just fine. And we did want to know that, how you got there. So you were lifelined. I didn't tell you folks that she lives in an extremely small town. She told me earlier they don't even have their own police force. The county police pass through from time to time, and that's the kind of just a very small town. So eventually she was lifelighted into a bigger city because they just weren't even able to, they weren't equipped.
Well, this time I was taken just by ambulance. When I had my aneurysm, they lifelighted me, but this was just by ambulance, full speed.
Okay, I've got my two episodes. Okay, at this point, that hadn't happened, though. Okay, yeah, we're both going to do that. So this time, you make it to the hospital, or they get you to the capital city where they have a bigger trauma hospital and are able to help you. And how long were you in the hospital was what I asked.
Okay, I believe it was a bit over a week. And I was released to my mom's care. I couldn't be taking care of myself. I also have a son. He was six at the time, so I couldn't take care of both of us, so I had to stay at my mother's house as long as they'd, if they were going to release me, I had someone to take care of me and help take care of my son. So I had to stay at my mom's house for quite a while.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you did. Well, and with all of those broken ribs, Gina told me earlier where a couple of those ribs were located, and any broken ribs are obviously very painful and difficult, but hers were in places where every time you twist and move, you get excruciating pain. And as you all know, there's not a cast or anything like that for all of those ribs, just time. So unfortunately, with all of the injuries she had, it took a very long time for her to recover on all levels, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But so you've gotten out of the hospital, you're with your mom, and she's taking care of you, and how long was it before you were able to be up on your feet?
For very small steps I could, but to actually like be up on my feet and do things, it was a few months. I got referred to a pain specialist, and that was in roughly January. So then I was bettered up and moving around. Everything was still very, very painful, but a lot better than day one.
And what, as far as when did the truth come out? You said that you were coerced in having to tell this lie in order to be able to get help in the first place, but you also said that the police pretty much knew what was going on. When did it come out that your boyfriend was actually the one that perpetrated this act?
Well, it was in the emergency room that's here in the smaller towns. And one of the police officers here is a friend of mine, and had become a friend of mine because he knew what was going on and everything. And he came up and grabbed my hand and told me that I had to say the name that I had to tell, and I really didn't know how bad it was. I don't know. It's your abuse, you know it's bad, but just didn't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard him talking, about internal bleeding, and there really wasn't much they could do for me at that hospital and stuff, the reality was kind of hitting me, and I still didn't want to give up his name. But if they think you're going to have surgery, they won't let you eat or drink anything.
Right.
As bad as this sounds, they wouldn't let me have any ice chips, and I really wanted some ice chips, so I said, I'll give you the name if you give me some ice chips. So I gave up the name in that ER.
Wow.
Not the
okay.
best story in the world, but I really wanted those ice chips.
Well, hey, whatever it took, whatever it took, that's exactly what needed to happen. So when they found out that it was him, was he arrested?
It took a while for them to find him, but once they found him, yeah, he was arrested, and nobody around him, family or friends, would bail him out.
Yeah, good. And so then, was there a trial?
No, there wasn't. In that December, he went in for a bond reduction hearing so that he could pay his bond to get out.
Oh, I see.
And they gave him a plea bargain at the time, which I knew nothing about. I was still pretty much on bed rest. And they gave him the plea bargain of 10 years, and he'd do two. Or if he didn't take the plea, they'd add another charge, and he'd do a mandatory of 3 years.
Mm.
So he took the plea.
So there was no trial. You weren't even really consulted on this. They just went with a plea where he would get out in 2 years after nearly killing you and threatening to kill you. It wasn't that he just started beating you and got out of control. He actually, which he did, no doubt about that, but But he did threaten to kill you in the course of this beating as it was going on in that couple hours, and they plea bargained him for 2 years.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Okay, and we'll drop back. Remember that, folks, and we're going to drop back to that in just a moment. Well, actually, why don't we go one step further in that moment? Gina told me earlier that 2 years is on the 15th of this month. So the chances are maybe pretty good that he'll be getting out of jail on the 15th of this month. So Jennifer is typing in the chat room. I can't do two things at once, but in any case, you know, poor Gina's just had her 2 year anniversary of this horrible incident, and he is looking at possibly getting out of jail. This happens Halloween 2010. We're into 2011 now. You've been laid up quite a while, recovering from the massive amount of injuries that you had, and you had told them from the beginning that you were having very bad headaches, but due to the nature of all of the, your whole body was injured, but your face in particular was injured. You had black eyes, broken teeth, and the other things you mentioned. And so the doctors, with the multitude of things they were treating, just thought that your headaches were going to be par for the course for somebody who had taken so many blows about the head and neck. Is that right?
Yeah, I was beat, unrecognizable. My mom didn't recognize me. My best friend didn't recognize me. They wrote down, my best friend saw this and told me later why, like, thanks for the good news. But it said that my head was the size of a basketball.
Mm.
So I took severe blows to the head.
So now, for the audience, we, as she's now gotten into the pain clinic, and she's still complaining of the headaches, and now we come to March. So we were in Halloween, so the end of October of 2010, we're into March of 2011. She's been recovering all this time she's been complaining of headaches. And tell us what happened now in March.
Well, it started with, I felt something pop, like, in the back of my head, and just had excruciating pain. I was throwing up and just all around felt awful. There was a whole lot of pain in my neck and in my shoulders, and I thought, I've had one migraine in my life, but it was definitely a migraine. And I didn't go to the doctor because I just thought, I'm having a migraine, you know, and I'd just been to the pain specialist, and they'd switched my medications up, but I'd been on the ones that they put me on before, and they hadn't caused this, so I called up there to make sure that it wasn't a medication thing, and they said, no, there's nothing that's changed that would cause that. Well, so I just kind of let it go and figured, well, maybe it'll be gone tomorrow, and I waited about a week and a half, and throughout that time, I really don't remember everything. It's very, very patchy.
Sure.
But
we understand that on this show.
Not remembering crap.
Mm-hmm.
My sister had said I wasn't making any sense with certain things, and my words were slurred and stuff, which, you know, of course I don't remember. I just remember having a bad headache. But, yeah, she had said that things weren't right, and she was convinced it was an aneurysm, and to get in to see a neurologist or something and as soon as possible. And, well, I kind of backburnered that too until I just couldn't take the pain anymore. And I was supposed to have a doctor appointment at 2:00 that day, and I ended up going to the ER because I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, after having had an aneurysm myself, I understand why that would be.
Yeah,
so you went to the ER.
Yeah, and they ordered a CAT scan. And I was waiting in the waiting room, and my doctor came in and said, you know, sit down, told my mom, me and my mom to listen. He goes, she goes, it's about 2 seconds. She's not going to remember much. Well, I wasn't remembering much as it was, but I really didn't know that. They'd given me a painkiller, and they said they'd found a mass on the back of my brain and wasn't sure what it was. So they ordered Life Flight to Iowa City, which is a very good hospital here in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Life Flighted up there, and they did an angiogram. And from what I understand of what I was told, my sister was kind of my cheerleader, and she was calling the hospital constantly, getting updates, and she's in the medical field, so she knows everything to ask. I'd be lost, but she knew everything to ask, and so she's kind of who I've gone to for information. And
it's great you've had her.
Oh my gosh, she's been a blessing, especially with helping with that whole memory problem thing. But right. They had gone in to do the angiogram. They'd already did an MRI, and they did an MRI and got me right in for an angiogram. And I guess it ruptured while they were doing the angiogram before they even, like as they were on their way up there to see it, it ruptured. And I had been bleeding in my brain for about 3 to 4 days. It'd been like a slow hemorrhage or whatever you call it.
Right.
If my wording's correct here.
No, that's right. So you had the aneurysm, most likely that developed as a result of your beating, and it had started to leak and then ruptured when you were having the diagnostic test to confirm that's what was going on. So now you've got a ruptured aneurysm going on, and you had surgery?
Yep. I had the craniotomy. Yeah.
I know the one.
I have to make sure all my wording's correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a craniotomy and a clipping.
Mm. Well, yeah, and having had that, I can't imagine all that you had been through in the 5 months prior to that, and then having to have a craniotomy on top of it. So we're talking inside 5 months, folks, that she's gone through this horrible beating and now is having an aneurysm and a craniotomy. So how long did it take you? What kind of a shape? Were you very aware when you came out of surgery about what had happened? How long were you in the hospital with after the aneurysm?
Well, throughout all that, I'm really sketchy about what happened. It seemed like they moved my room around a lot.
I'm sure you were.
I remember the ICU, and I will never understand why it's called that, because that was the worst place I ever could have been. Because it was loud. Everybody's TVs were so loud, and it was well lit, and I mean, everything you don't want to be having going on if you're having an aneurysm.
I was going to say the bright lighting, you know, the bright lighting in the hospital is tough for people that have aneurysms and TBIs, and light sensitivity is something that's very common to a lot of us during and after these types of things. So that is rough, and also sensory overload. So yes, when you're in a hospital at all, let alone in the ICU, it's very busy, loud, lots of equipment, beep, beep, beep going on all the time. So
yeah.
I can certainly understand why you'd be fuzzy in that area. Do you know about how long you were in the hospital? Obviously you had successful surgery.
Yeah, they were actually pretty surprised at how well I came out of it, because I was only in the hospital about a week, maybe a little longer.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, they said for how long I bled in my brain and the extent of everything. They were, well, the surgeon kept screwing up how long I was there. He always thought I was there a lot longer, and I'm like, no, I've been here this long, you know, I'm watching the days and everything, and I'm crossed them off. You know?
Right.
I wanted out of the hospital. Nobody likes being in there.
No,
I'm like, no, I've only been in here this long. And every day we'd just be like, wow. But really the main thing they were waiting for was my vision to come back. And then I'd be able to go home. I was kind of a pain in the butt patient.
Your vision.
I really
so
did.
You lost your vision in the course of this aneurysm and surgery? When you woke up,
yeah,
you didn't
I
have your vision?
I was seeing like four or five of everything.
Ah, okay. So that
and
was
then,
a more immediate after effect, waking up, is the vision challenge.
Yeah, and it was, they'd hold their hand up high and then down low, and, you know, how many do you see up here, how many do you see here? And,
right.
And
you
then,
were
of course,
seeing double.
TVs up high. Just can't watch TV. I couldn't do anything but sit in silence and with no lights on. It was awful.
I'm
seeing, you know, double and triple of everything, so I slept a lot.
Yes, I know about that part of it too. I didn't, you know, at the time I wore glasses and contacts, and between the light sensitivity and the fact that my head was so swollen, they wouldn't let me wear contacts and glasses wouldn't fit on my head, and I couldn't have read or tracked with the TV anyway. So, for anyone who's been through it, it's an excruciatingly long period of time in isolation in your head a lot of the time, not a lot of distraction when there's not much you can do, when the sensory overload is bothering your hearing and your head and your eyes aren't functioning right. It's tough duty, to say the least. So
yeah.
You proceeded to then recover from the injuries that you had before, and also now recovering from the aneurysm, and I suppose you had reason to keep going to that pain management doctor after all of this, for Pete's sake. Were you?
So once I got out of the hospital, they kind of, while I was in there, they kind of cushioned me from like all the other things that they knew were going to come along with the brain surgery, but didn't really want me to notice yet. Like, I lost the use of my right arm for a while. I couldn't grasp anything or hold on to anything. My memory, it was probably 30 seconds long. You know, things like that I didn't know until I got home. You know,
wow.
My comprehension skills were gone. I didn't notice any of that when I was in the hospital.
Well,
it wasn't,
and you
until
wouldn't.
I got home and I was more around people and, you know, having conversations and things like that. I wasn't just laying in a dark room with nothing.
Right.
So I got home. Getting home was the bigger reality check of what really happened.
Well, right. And I suppose you were in a lot of shock, you know, in the shock and medication. And, you know, you don't really know when you're in the hospital, because that's a huge trauma. You had already been through one huge trauma back on Halloween, and I'm here to tell you, you know, a ruptured aneurysm is another big trauma to be going through. And so, you know, when you're in the hospital in that shock in back of trauma, you know, everything is kind of confusing. You don't know until you have a moment away from there to really start, and it takes quite a while to find out what all of your deficits are. Some of them, you know, right away, and some of them come up as they come up, you know. So then what happened?
I'm not following. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was my fault. I interrupted you, but you were just starting to tell us about coming home and finding out some of the things that you couldn't do at the time, like your right arm and your comprehension.
It was a breakdown. You know, I realized that I was living in a whole different world than what I was used to, and that no matter what I did, I changed. I was going to have to retrain my brain to do all these other things, and no matter what I did, there's things I can't change.
Right.
It's changed a lot. I mean, not, of course, the initial attack changed me in a lot of ways, you know, and then that, it's just been nothing but change. And it's been a hard road to deal with.
No doubt about that. I don't think anybody would argue that. So what about, we've talked about the physical part of how things came down and what kind of treatments that you had. Were you getting counseling or getting involved in a domestic abuse program? What kind of help did you have for yourself psychologically in back of all of this trauma in such a short period of time?
Well, I before the aneurysm, I had gone to a local battered woman shelter, therapist, people, counselors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, lack of better words, I can't think. But they really weren't trained for a case as severe as mine. They'd only just seen your, not that any abuse is okay, don't let me put it that way, but I, for lack of better words, you know, the, not as serious of a degree.
Right,
so
I think
I
know
sitting and
what
telling
you
them,
mean.
Right, when I was telling them my story, they both just were bawling, the two counselors that I had. And I kind of thought to myself, I probably need a little bit better counselors than this.
Yeah.
Because I don't think this is the reaction I'm supposed to get.
Yeah, you'd come out of your shock enough by then to figure that one out, huh?
Like, I think I should go somewhere else. I don't think they're ready for this. So I started seeing a different therapist through a hospital, and been seeing the same one up until, you know, today. I'm still going. So
good.
I'm not really a group therapy person because I'm very private with thoughts and feelings and stuff like that. So
right.
My therapist has been wonderful.
Good.
So
I'm glad to hear that. And I suppose you're going to be seeing that therapist more as the time approaches for this person, this ex-boyfriend, to be getting out of jail.
Yeah, I told them to leave me some openings.
Yeah, I bet you did. After all of this, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what he's been doing in jail for the last couple of years, but, you know, this last couple of years for you has certainly been hell, all of the things that you've had to endure physically, and, you know, the fear and anxiety in back of it, and just all of it. I do want to tell our listeners now, you know, in a small town, it's difficult sometimes. Thank goodness Gina found somebody. I might ask if DJ, if you're out there in the chat room, or somebody who might help me out here, by typing in a website. It's NCADV.org, and I'll say it again, it's the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So that's www.ncadv.org. Oh, thank you. Gosh, Keith Anthony, they type faster than I talk, Gina. They got it in the chat room. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and Keith has been kind enough, thank you, to type the website into the chat room as I've been saying it.
Yeah.
I encourage you folks out there to check out that website, and if you know someone who's in a position where domestic violence is going on, or maybe even you yourself, the first number I think that you want to have close by is 911. The next number, if you want to talk, the number for the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence is 1-800-799-7233. And if anybody's willing to type this in for me, I'll rattle that off again, 1-800-799-7233. So that's one place that you can call. They have a 24-hour hotline. They also have a lot of information. Some of the statistics that I gave you earlier came off of their website, and there's just some real good information on there. One of the things is a wheel they have called Power and Control, and that's a very fascinating handout, I guess you'd call it, if I hadn't seen it on the internet. So I'm with you, getting my words a little messed up tonight, but in any case, it does talk about the fact that you know, this domestic violence is all fueled by a need for power and control, and then it goes on to talk about the different types of violence. Another number I would give you, aside from keeping that 911 close and the coalition number, is there was a YWCA at one time, and now they're called WCA. That stands for the Women's Center for Advancement. Now, I know that we have one locally here, and these are kind of scattered about the country. It doesn't look like they have one national number, but if you're a woman in this situation, or again, if you know somebody in this situation, I know that the WCA, if you check in your local phone book or check with your counselor if you go to one, they have programs there for domestic violence and sexual assault. They have violence prevention and education services. They also have career services to help women who perhaps were not working out of the home and have suddenly gotten an exit strategy and have gotten out of that violent situation, and now they need some help getting on their feet. And either one of these places, the WCA or the National Coalition, can help you get the information that you need to be able to get to recovery and to get out of these situations. Now, Gina, knowing what you know now, had your boyfriend been abusive to you in smaller ways before?
Oh, yeah. And even some pretty bad ways. I just never thought he'd actually try to kill me.
And knowing what you know now, would you...
And before that, I was in an abusive marriage, so I was already beaten down. That job was taken care of for him. It just was a matter of trusting him and then him beating me down. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
It does. It sets the pace. And a lot of times, the pace is set in childhood. That doesn't always happen. But
right.
Were you in an abusive situation in growing up?
Yeah, not the healthiest.
Okay. We don't have to go down that road any further, but a lot of times it starts at home, and in fact, that's one of the other things. In the statistics I read earlier, one of them I didn't say is that, you know, when I said one in three women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime, most cases of domestic violence are never reported to the police. And children who witness these types of things in the home, witnessing violence between one's parents or caregivers is the strongest risk factor of transmitting violent behavior from one generation to the next. Also, boys who witness domestic violence are twice as likely to abuse their own partners and children when they become adults. And 30 to 60% of perpetrators of intimate partner violence also abuse the children in the household. So as you see, you can kind of see how this track sets up. If you grow up with violence in your home growing up when you're young and vulnerable, then the stage is set to enter into relationships. That becomes a sort of normal or acceptable behavior because it's allowed to go on in the home, and people get then involved with people who have problems controlling their anger management, and violent behavior. So you had gotten out of a violent marriage or a marriage where domestic abuse had happened, and then met this new fella, and he also did that. Is there any advice after all you've been through that you would give to women who are in violent relationships, aside from get out of them? And
I was going to say, well, besides the obvious, leave.
Right. We'll make that a given, leave. And obviously your story, you know, telling what can happen, you know, there's a lot of women, you know, the first time that they get shoved or smacked or whatever, they look for reasons why that might be their fault. You know, they go through the whole gamut of he's probably had a hard day, he's got a lot on his mind, he's been through so much, what did I do to set this off? There's just so many
blame you take on yourself when nothing, there's never anything a woman can do to justify a man hitting them, no matter what you do.
Right, exactly. So
no matter if you cooked dinner wrong or didn't get home in time to cook dinner, or you said hi to that guy that was your ex-boyfriend when you were 8. You know, I mean, none of it. There's no reason for a man to put their hands on you. You know, you get slapped in the face and you think, oh, it's no big deal, he just slapped me in the face. That's warning sign one, get out. You know, well, not the first one, but I'm saying, of, you know, when it gets to be physical, get out. You know,
right.
It's ultimately their choice.
Right.
Ultimately their choice.
Yeah, right. And at the
first
there's
really nothing anybody can do except give you all the information in the world and say, my home is always open. If they want to go back, you know, you don't want them to, but they might. But always know that, you know, that door is open and you can always come here and we won't be judged.
Right, exactly. And very seldom does that ever happen once. So for all the women out there that are going through this, and it's maybe happened once or twice, it is a pattern of behavior that unless it's, you know, treatment is actively sought by the perpetrator, it does happen again. It's not a random act.
As soon as you okay it once, you've okayed it forever.
That's right.
So as soon as you let them get away with it once, and they do the, oh, I'm sorry, and you take them back thinking they're not going to do it again, you just opened up that door to let them do it forever. You know,
that's
not
right.
Necessarily let them, but for lack of better words, you in their mind, they have permission.
That's right. We'll talk a couple more seconds, but I do want to say to the audience that I will take some calls now. If there's anybody who wants to call in, go ahead and start ringing in, or if there's anything you'd like to say to Gina. Gina, you haven't been in the chat room, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm not very computer savvy. I was just fiddling with it before I called, trying to figure it out.
And it's okay, and that's the reason I brought it up, because there have been people in here making some very nice comments about your attitude and the fact that you've been sharing with us, and I know you haven't been able to read them. I wanted to let the audience know that, give them the opportunity to call in. We have a few callers here. How about area code 803? Who do I have here?
You got Les, Paul, and I just want to say, wow, thank you for sharing your story. I mean, it humbles me. I don't even know how to put it into words. You're helping other people right now. There are people all over the country right now suffering domestic violence, and you being willing to speak like you are and share what you have, I know it hurts to tell your own story sometimes, but it's also helping other people. So thank you so much. I just wanted to say God bless you. Well, peace be still. I don't know what else to say other than flowers and roses come your way, because, I mean, what you've been through is hell on earth, and yet I've heard you laugh. That's one thing I've been noticing, how you speak, and I heard laughter several times despite the agony and heartache you went through. So I just wanted to say God bless you and just thank you for all you've done.
Well, thank you, and you too. And you got to be able to laugh. That's key.
That's right.
Joy,
that is key. Thanks, Les, and I'll come back with you. That's another thing, folks, too, is that when I first approached Gina about doing this, she hasn't ever done anything like this before, telling her story. As she said earlier, she's been a private person, and you can imagine the dynamics that play into what she's been through and why she wouldn't want to share it. We talked a little bit, and she was able to put her own fears aside and show a willingness to help others by sharing her story. And I just think that's one of the reasons why God spared her. You realize her life was not only in jeopardy on that Halloween in 2010 when this horrible incident happened, but again in March when she had the ruptured aneurysm. And God has saved her life for many reasons, but I know that one of them is sharing her story, which I am positive will save a lot of women out there, and in addition, make a lot of women who are in these situations decide to report it to the police. When they say most of these things are never reported, when we start reporting these things, every time they happen and the word gets around that this is not behavior that's tolerated in 1 out of 3 women's lives, then maybe the pattern will start to change. Let's see. I have Keith Anthony on the line. Thanks for waiting. Keith, are you with us?
Yes, Kim. Fabulous show, as always. And Gina, I'm so... you can actually hear the emotion here. But I'm so impressed by your courage coming on this show. And I can't begin to imagine what it's like for you, because myself, I'm getting emotional just talking about what you've been through. And so I'd like to commend you on that. And what I've learned to do with the trauma in my life is to accept them as, and it's hard to think this way, but it's all taking us along the path, our life path. So it's progress. As bad as it was, it's progress, because it's getting you to the place where you need to be. And the other thing I've learned to do is to release the hurts of the past by forgiving the people concerned. I'm not saying condoning. What that man did was absolutely appalling. But we have to release it by trying to forgive the person. You don't have to forgive them in person, but just sit down quietly somewhere and say that I forgive all those people who hurt me. And that's why I like on my show to do the Ho'oponopono, which is the Hawaiian chant, which goes, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. And what we're doing there is to forgive ourselves, in fact. But when we do that, we release all the hurt from everybody else. And I don't want to capitalize your show, Kim, so I think I should shut up there.
No, that's fine. We do have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to come back in to everybody, but thank you, Keith, for calling in. And I want you to know, Gina, that Keith Anthony is in England, and so he's somewhere 3-4 o'clock in the morning, up wanting to hear your show tonight and call in to give you some encouragement. So your message is being heard all over the world, and he's one of the best. Wow. So, okay, let's try caller 765. Who do I have with us?
Now, who do you think you have with you?
Muffin, is that you?
Hi, Kim. Yes, it's me.
Gina, this is Matt Duffin. He's another host, as was Les on Tuesday nights, and Keith Anthony every other Saturday night, and a pinch hitter. And this is Matt. He's the Sunday night host. What do you have to say to Gina, Matt?
Oh, God, love her. I mean, her strength, for one, Gina, is so strong. I mean, if this is the first time you've talked about it, that was a very nice speech. I've heard several. I've been through several forms of rehab. Anyway, that I appreciate and I admire. We're always here for you. You can always listen, or you can probably get on somebody's show. I try. I'm with you with the humor part. I try to have a little humor with my show. Actually, I'm a smart ass, but
yeah, me too.
Kids run radio here.
I live in a small town too, a small community. Besides my Navy years, I've born here, raised here, owned a bar here, wrote sports here. I kind of know everybody. And from owning the bar, I've seen a lot of dreadful things that not necessarily like yours or not necessarily happen in front of me, but, you know, just regular people that I heard about it happening to every day. And I hope you don't have to run into some of the riots that come from that sometimes. When people get it out of jail, you need to keep your strength up and remember what it took you to survive. And getting inside of that debate is not what made you survive, and you need to let everybody else know that too. They'll leave you be, you would think.
That's
if
right.
If not, load your truck there and shoot him. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't rule that one out. Thanks for calling in, Matt. I'm going to put you back on hold for a minute, too. Thanks so much for calling in. We have about 5 minutes left, and DJ did mention something. I took a look. I thought it was kind of sad, and maybe Craig will have more information, but the Brain Injury Association, BIAUSA.org, did one study, and I Googled TBIs and domestic violence, and there was only one article, and it's this one, that goes all the way down the Google page. So one thing that I found rather disappointing is that there have not been exhaustive studies, at least none that you Google right off the top that talk about this directly, but there is a rather lame study, and if you want to check that out, you can look at BIAUSA.org, the Brain Injury Association, and they have a study where they surveyed 169 women who had injuries related to domestic violence over a 7 to 9 month period, and certainly you can read about that. I'm not going to read it to you. I guess the impression that I was left with is just that I can see why this statistic is still 1 in 3 or 1 in 4, because there haven't been a lot of studies done on this, but I know for a fact that there are a lot of traumatic brain injuries and aneurysms are as a result of violence, whether it's immediate or the aneurysm or the TBI is there and it starts exhibiting more over time. It's just like we have other hosts on here have talked about the concussions and what happens with multiple concussions and the concussion syndrome, and this all plays into that. So, Gina, we're down to 90 seconds. If some of you on the board want to stay on, we'll continue. But I just want to thank Gina so much for being on tonight. My thoughts and prayers are always with you, Gina, since the first time that we talked. I always pray for your continued recovery, and I'm just, we're all with you in spirit as this fella may get out of jail, and for your continued safety and growth and all of the strength and character that you've shown by sharing your story with us tonight. So thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. And if you need to get a hold of me for anything, you know how to get a hold of me.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And we may have you back on again for another show after we see how this probation thing goes, if you're willing and you want to come back. And my show is on every Wednesday night, but Brain Injury Radio does have a different host on 7 nights a week at the same time. So if you want to call back in anytime, call back in. And as you learn the computer, there's a chat room going on at the same time. But we're down to 10. So good night, Gina. Thank you so much for being here. God bless.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And we're going to close the show in the usual way with something that Gina definitely had, and I think that we all have, and that's A Guardian Angel by Leah West. Check out leahwest.com. And for any of you that want to stay, we'll be back right after this.
Won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying, everyone is home. With a guardian angel, on true wings she'll let you higher than you thought was possible. She'll love you and protect you like no other.
Okay, we've rolled into overtime. I'm going to open up the mics. Gina has hung up. She's not with us now. She, as you might have heard, is not able to do the computer. And so she called in. So I have...
She wasn't running from me because I flirt all the time.
While I'm studying. Hang on, Matt. Okay, so on the line with me right now, I have Keith Anthony, area code 803-765-585 and 941. So I appreciate you guys being here to support Gina. When I originally talked to her, she really wasn't of a mind to do this. We visited a little. I shared some of my own experience with her, and she went away and talked to her mom and her therapist and her sister about it, and made a very brave and admirable decision, I think, in sharing with us tonight.
I thought she was very, very good. Like I say, I've heard a lot of people share their stories between the first and the 100th time, and I thought she was very, very good.
She really is. She was very brave to tell her story. I know a lot of us go through experiences and we keep it a secret for whatever reason. We're afraid that person will find out and we'll get hurt worse, or we have shame or embarrassment, which there's no logical reason why we'd have shame or embarrassment, but it is a few of the emotions that kind of come along with the turf in this kind of thing. And so good night, Tracy. And good night, everybody who's leaving. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Good night,
sorry,
Tracy.
I didn't say that before. And again, we want to thank our sponsor.
We'll
Gordon Johnson. I'm sorry. John. Gordon Johnson, TBILaw.com. Is that you, Frank?
Yes, I've been here. Oh, I want to say, does Gina know that she has a powerful message and she should be out there and she should be leading the forefront for domestic violence in America?
For sure.
She should be a spokesperson. She should be on TV. She should have a book written. She should have a YouTube video that goes viral. She should do all that. I don't know how, if she doesn't make any money right now. I didn't get to find out if she lost her job or something like that. But she has a potential here to reach not only her own reward money, but she can help so many women by doing this. She's
well, you
an
have
amazing
to,
woman.
You have to walk before you can run. And like I said, before this, she's never shared this anywhere except in her family, among her friends, and with her therapist. So this is the first time.
Yeah, great for doing that. she was very succinct. She didn't, there was a once or twice when she stumbled, but that could be just because she's new at doing this.
Oh, she was scared to death. She told me before she came on the air, I kind of wondered if she might change her mind. She was scared, and she walked right through that fear and did it.
I want you to get this message to her that if she does want to do something like that, give me up a call. I can encourage her. I know exactly what to do to take her down this road to be a great spokesman for whatever house she has to do. I'm not saying she has to do it, but she's a perfect person because she's been through this, as we have all been through our own journeys.
Right.
And my journey, I'm here talking to you right now. And that's why I do everything I have to do to get people to be aware a brain injury is a problem that can be, they have to be more cognizant of what to do. That's why I'm empowering people every day.
Right, right. And we'll see how it goes. I guess right now, you know, my concern for her, and I'm with you on what you're talking about, Frank, but all I can reiterate is you got to walk before you can run. It's, you know, she's had 2 years of intense recovery, and now this guy is going to probably get out of prison on the 15th. And I hope, more than being an advocate or anything else, that she stays safe.
Yes, it's
got to really be weighing on her mind. They're in a very small town, so it's going to be hard to not see this person.
That was what my point was, you know, if nobody might not know about, but she lives in a small town, 95% of the people, if not 100, know about it. And there's families on both sides and friends from both sides, and who knows what kind of stupid little war there's going to be. Hopefully none, but, you know, those are what I was trying to... That's what I was... I don't ever get my words out right, but that's what I was trying to tell her to be strong for, is what could be upcoming with that, her own emotions, thinking about him, thinking about him on the loose, thinking about her family, his family, who knows? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, small town.
Another one here.
I'm here in Redneckville. That's how we treated people. You know, somebody get somebody to go somewhere to get the guy, and they just go beat his ass.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I guess I can't advocate that, but I wouldn't be disappointed. One of the other, I want to stop and read couple of the other statistics here. Almost one-third of female homicide victims that are reported in police records are killed by an intimate partner. And 70 to 80% of intimate partner homicides, no matter which partner was killed, the man physically abused the woman before the murder. Less than one-fifth of victims reporting an injury from intimate partner violence sought medical treatment following the injury. And intimate partner violence results in more than 18.5 million mental health care visits each year. The economic impact says that the cost of intimate partner violence exceeds $5.8 billion each year, $4.1 billion of which is for direct medical and mental health services. So there's just really some startling statistics. And I talked to Gina before about her story, but I didn't realize that, I mean, is the 15th like next week?
If it's this month, it's coming soon.
Yeah, I think it's next week.
It's a week from today.
Right.
It's just 7 and 8, 7 and 7 is 14, so it's next Friday. It's Thursday.
I think
the sheriff and they don't even have their own. Then the sheriff will be aware of the situation too. I'm sure. I would hope to be.
Well, the county sheriff, again, they don't have their own police department, so I don't know how spread out the county is over there. But in any case, I hope that being on the show tonight really empowered her, helped give her some strength. You guys are a great audience, and when you called in and encouraged her, I'm sure she was glad that she did this. I know that she wouldn't want anyone else to have to go through what she went through. It was very brave of her to do this, and I think it was good for her to do this, as she's facing down this next week. It gives her a little bit of balance, you know, too much time in your own head over the next week versus taking a little time out and really being a giving person, you know, getting past her own fears and anxieties and being willing to share her story with us and help others. So, we'll all pray that she'll be safe and sound and keep growing into the lovely woman that she is.
I have an idea. This is Les Paul, of something we could nominate her for. It's called the Women. It says Women's Peace Power Foundation Past Award Winners. My friend Miss Prescott that I spoke about last night, she actually won an award through this, and it's an either a national or international award, and it goes to a person that has been through domestic violence or something similar that recognizes them for their not only what they went through, but how they're working to overcome. I'm looking at the website right now. It says womenofpeace.org, and I'm looking at past winners beside it. My friend Josephine Prescott was a winner of it, and it'd be nice if she could meet my supervisor Cindy Anzik, who actually started what's called Love Shouldn't Hurt, a domestic violence program that we do at Walton Options, where I work, because it's a wonderful program. And we get the police there. We have all the safety officers from different agencies and everything come and study and learn how they can improve and prevent things like this from happening.
Wow, that would be great. If you have my email, because I'm not by something I can write, you should. I sent you a song once.
I thought you did, but I was looking for it a few minutes ago because I was going to send you something and I could not find it.
Are you you're not in the chat room either, are you? You're just online. I'll get a hold of you tomorrow through the Facebook.
So I think I'm registered. I think it's showing me as one of the two brain injury radios because it did not log me in as myself.
Oh, okay. Here, if you're able to see this, I put that in the chat room.
Oh, okay, I see it. Thank you.
Okay.
The one question I had, she was a pretty young thing. I wonder if she has, if her mom's single.
I'm not sure, Matt. I never talked to her about her mother before. And I'm not even sure how old she is. I guess I didn't ask her. She looks maybe Renee knows. I'm not sure. Renee is her friend. She's in the chat room and was here to support her friend tonight. Mm-hmm. And I know that her sister was listening in to the show. So she did have some people here for her.
I was kidding, people.
You're such a prankster.
Mm-hmm.
So, Keith Anthony, how's your migraine?
Very bad.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was hoping that they would have gone with my now 30-day fasting. But unfortunately, no, I guess it's not to be.
Jeez Louise.
That's
incredible, isn't it? What do you got, another 10 days? What are you going to have to eat if you make another 10 days?
Well, in 10 days' time, what I will have to eat is fruit juice for 8 days because I have to get my digestive system fired up again and start to build up both good and bad flora in my intestines because there's nothing there at the moment. So I have to make sure I drink sterilized juice, which is what you get in most cartons for nodules. Or if I make it myself, then I have to make sure I sit for 20 minutes to kill all the bugs that could potentially be dangerous.
Gosh.
He lost me on the intestine part.
I can't imagine going that many days.
It's only a month, 30 days.
Yeah, only a month. That's a long time. That's a long time to not eat.
When he says only a month, I just about pass out.
Yeah, I went a couple of days ago to a bar in Mayfair in London and met some friend who, between them, there's about 20 of us, I guess, we are some of the most respected hypnotists on the planet. And that was a lot of fun, but they were drinking and eating every variety of burger and sausages, mashed potatoes, gravy, all kinds of dressings, and they're all circling me eating this food. It did look good, smelt good, but I wasn't concerned or tempted or anything, because I've got my mind right, as they say in the movie Cool Hand Luke. You've got to get your mind right. Oh, yeah. The prison war ex says, you've got to get your mind right, boy. I don't know if you know the movie. My favorite movie. Love that movie.
That was a good movie. Mm. A very good movie. Well, I think what I'll do, if you guys want to go on, or if you don't want to go on, you guys have heard, let's see, we've got a couple of the other ladies in the room. I think I'm going to play another song. Leah West sent me a really nice email that I copied in case the music police ever want to check me out. But there's another song of hers, and I think this is fitting for all of us, actually. This song is 4 minutes and 12 seconds if you have to go get a drink or take a powder, and it's called I'm Not Invincible by Leah West. Again.
Is anybody there?
I'm still here.
I'm sorry. Okay. I muted my mic and I forgot to turn it back on. I'm sorry. I was saying I had to get that puppy of mine, Libby, woke up, and so I muted my mic while I let her outside and you guys were listening to the tune. But again, that was Leah West, I'm Not Invincible, and I was just saying congratulations to her tonight. Leah is at the release party for her second CD.
Oh, wow.
So when I first met her, I've never met her in person. She's in Canada. But when I originally got in contact with her was when my book was released last year, and I was making my my book trailer and found that Guardian Angel song, and I got in touch with her after I made my trailer. I thought, you know, the musician might want to see what their music is being used for. And we kind of struck up a Facebook and email friendship, and she was a fairly fresh emerging artist at that time, and so it's been fun to track her success, and she is very supportive of Brain Injury Radio and was happy to share these tunes, have me play some of these tunes of hers. So that's a good thing, because there's some other artists that I won't mention right now. I'll give them a little more time, but they haven't even responded. So it's nice that she did.
That's right.
Yes, I've got some news for you.
Yes.
News. It's Bram Stoker's birthday today, and Google have got a very nice... What do they call those things where they change the way the Google page looks? And they're celebrating Bram Stoker's birthday.
Dracula?
Oh. Dracula. Yes, it's not the only book he wrote. I just discovered how many... I didn't know he'd written so many books other than Dracula. And it would be interesting to read some of them. I didn't much like Dracula, but I wonder if any others are good.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if they're all along those lines.
They're not all. One of them was about being a civil servant. He wrote Dracula.
Wow. Well, he hit the jackpot with Dracula, that's for sure. Well, that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
So we have Bram Stoker and a new old president and all kinds of great things going on today, I guess.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, okay. Do you guys want to hear another song? Do you have anything to say?
I don't know if you want to talk about the vote.
Not really.
A suggestion, Kim?
Yes, Keith.
Not really.
Let's give Gina a blast on that new jingle they put up there, because that's a fun jingle.
Oh, good.
I'm kind of interested on how the general public in London had to deal with our whole election, and they had to see it, like, surely not like we did, but if they had to see it a lot, or...
Wait, hang on. One request at a time, you guys. Keith Anthony, where is what I'm looking for?
Go to the top of the list, there's three sound effects at the very top of the list, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's sort of loud applause or something like that.
Is it this one?
That sounds like it.
And before I forget, that one goes very well with this one that I am forever forgetting.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Gina deserves that, I think.
That's pretty cool. Yes, absolutely. Gina does deserve that. She does. I've been watching her, and she's got a cute little boy, too, 6-year-old boy, just a real cutie. So this has got to be a difficult thing. So she said he was 6 then, which would mean, 7, 8 now. So he was 6 years old when all this was going on with his mom. So he's going to be having some recovery and reflection to go through as well. So I hope they can both stay on the path of recovery and stay safe. That had to be real difficult for a little man like that to see his mama going through.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mind, Kim, if you'd like to play my station jingle too with the Doctor theme. Perhaps I'm asking too much.
Perhaps. Your show jingle? People are going to think this is your show.
No, we'll tell them it's not. Maybe we'll wait until Saturday.
Maybe we'll try this. Were you here the other night when we played this song? I know a couple of you were, but a couple of you were not. This was, I know Les was here. This is a local artist, no longer in a band. I know. Me too. I just love this song. And for the backstory on this song, for those of you who weren't here, this gentleman's name is John Cruz. This was the John Cruz Blues Band. And he wrote this song when his wife back in the 70s met an untimely and very young death from cancer. And this song is called In the Palm of Your Hand.
Of your hand, like a jewel
that song.
John Cruise, In the Palm of Your Hand. I do too. I just loved that song. I think it's so sad. There's so many talented artists out there. And, you know, like I was saying the other night, whether it's music or books or note cards or artwork, you know, there just isn't a lot of margin in there. And in bands particularly, you know, you got more than one person, whether it's a band or a business environment, you know, you get a lot of chiefs in the kitchen and you know, between financial things and personality problems, there's a lot of awful talented people out there. At least he got to step up to the plate and has a good disc. I've got another song of his I can play for you sometime if you want me to. And but that was it. That was it. One disc and back to painting houses. But it was a good detour, I think. Well worth taking.
Yeah, it was.
What'd you think, other guys? Want to rate a record?
It was okay. It was a little late at night, maybe, for me to be listening to that. How's that?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Well, it could be that way, but you could have got up and danced, Matt, even though you've got a bum leg there. You could have moved around and swayed around. Libby and I were dancing around the living room, so.
Not after last night.
Really? Did you have a good time?
Many bar fights that I've been in my life, Navy taught me how not to let nobody get into my face. Well, last night, my toilet and my tub got me. My bathtub and my toilet just got my eye, got my forehead, hit my head.
You fell?
Yeah, I must have had a seizure or something, blacked out while I was taking my evening stand-up comedy routine in front of the bath toilet by myself.
Oh, no.
You're not supposed to do that.
God, you poor thing. You just went through everything you've been through, and that sounds like a bad fall. There's a lot of things in the bathroom you can really get hurt on.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of room to be falling in there either, and well, I'd say I got a pretty good black eye. It looks like somebody socked me and cut my right below my eyeball on my chin or on my cheek.
Hmm. Jeez Louise, I'm sorry to hear that.
It was
you've
like
really...
Did you know once you've had one brain injury, you have a higher risk for a second and a higher risk for a third, and there's not too much information on a fourth or a fifth or a sixth?
Yeah, that would be stay
I
on your feet.
I more hit my face than I did anything.
Hmm.
Well, your face is kind of on the front half of your brain, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it holds it all together, man.
I need help.
It didn't
you
get
need
the
help?
Engine, it just kind of got
I
the grill.
Help.
Wait a minute, Keith Anthony needs help. What do you need help with?
Well, I'm going to be starting to be a presenter with CroydonRadio.com, which is an online station. It's a local radio station. And I'm filling in a profile here. I have to give my presenter name. Now, I'm thinking I should make it radio host Keith Anthony. How does that sound?
Well, it's a radio program, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, then radio might be redundant if it's a radio program. Maybe you just need to say host.
I thought of that, but I thought it was a little bit wishy-washy, just host radio. I mean,
well,
a lot of guys precede their name with DJ, so it would then be DJ Keith Anthony, but I didn't want to do that because everyone else has done that. And I did for a bit think I'd write Keith Anthony, the perfect face for radio. Well, that gets to be a bit lengthy.
How about esteemed host Keith Anthony?
No, I don't think so.
I like yours. So is it going to be music? What kind of a show is it
going
to be?
I'm going to be hopefully interviewing local business people, you know, like the manager from the bank and the manager from the supermarket. And I would like to play a little bit of music in between, you know, just a few tracks. Because I'm not really a DJ as such, a sort of a music person. I like to listen to music, but I prefer to talk. I love to have a discussion with people. That's what I like about this station. So
yeah.
That's the way I'm going to be going. I'm going to be getting guests in, chat with them, and interject with a few tracks here and there. I've already got my playlist together.
No, he's not leaving us. He's just going to be...
No, not at all. I'm going to be... I shall be doing three shows then, because I did my first show yesterday evening now for us with Hospital Radio. They've taken a long time to let me host a show, because I've been there for a year and 3 months. We're supposed to do that after the first 6 months.
So you've got two shows in England and then this one?
Yes.
Wow, that must keep you hopping. How do you keep everything straight doing three shows a week?
Oh,
I drink
just
water.
One step at a time, and I drink 8 pints of water a day now.
I'm not sure that would help me keep three shows a week straight. How about you, Les?
I know what you mean. I don't think so either.
Take a little
don't
more
have
than
to
that.
Don't worry about being in line waiting to get food.
Well, none of these pay.
More than three shows I'm doing, because I'm coming on to your show, Kim. That makes it four.
That's true. That's true. But you don't have to think as hard to show up as a guest, I've noticed. At least for me, I don't have to think as much to be a guest as a host. For some reason, there's more pressure to be the host.
You kind of already know your story when people are going to ask you questions.
Oh, good. DJ said that Renee and Gina joined Team High Level. So if any of you have any other comments to make or have anything to say, good job, thanks for being here, whatever, you guys can find Gina and Renee, her friend who is in the chat room tonight, on Team High Level. So thanks so much, DJ, for following up on that and letting us know.
That's right.
I wondered why you were logging in, logging out, logging in, logging out. It's so cute. You look at the chat board and it shows DJ has logged in, DJ has logged out, DJ has logged in, DJ has logged out. I almost didn't pay attention because he's been in and out so much. I noticed that. But then he did say something that Gina and Renee are in already to Team High Level. I told him I'd look tomorrow, but ever the on the ball DJ. Got that taken care of for us, so that's great. I'm glad she'll be around some of the people that are on the radio show and be encouraged to come out. You know, I don't think in her area they really have any kind of a support group either. She did say on the show that she's not big on groups, but she was talking like group therapy, and there's something about the radio, I find, because we're invisible. And we also have a lot of things in common. And in that old walk before you run strategy I was talking about, this might be, you know, one of the cogs in the wheel that gets her to the place, you know, that Frank was talking about earlier. I don't think she's going to be at that place for quite a while, but things like this and being a member in Team High Level, getting involved in that way will help her go that direction.
That's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, that is what we do. So I was real anxious to have her on tonight. I know she's pretty isolated, but, you know, I was glad when you called in, Keith Anthony, because the first time I talked to her, I just cried like a baby when I got off the phone. It was just such a heartbreaking story, and... I just felt so bad for her. And then tonight when I talked to her earlier, you know, just confirming she was going to be on the show, finding out she doesn't really do a lot of computer and was going to be calling in, and she told me that she got a letter in the last week, because I did ask her when I was doing some pre-questioning about how long this, you know, how long he had been sentenced for, and I assumed that, you know, to me, she, I'm, I'll have to find the piece of paper that told what the charge was that he was given. But to me, you know, that was attempted murder at what I would have preferred to see, and assault at the very least. But it was something I had never even heard of before, willful something or other, and it just kind of meant that you assaulted someone with intent, so intent, which I think an assault has intent, so I wasn't really even clear what the difference was between assault and the actual charge that he got. But I mean, 2 years is just crazy for what he did. I mean, it's one thing when somebody gets out of control and maybe, you know, smacks someone or something like that, but to do what this guy, you know, did, he's just lucky he didn't kill her, you know. That's the direction it was going, and you know, just by the grace of God, he'd be in jail rotting for the rest of his life. So I don't know, but I really don't like the idea of him being out next week. You know, the one thing about it, I asked her if she had had any contact, you know, with him since then, and she said no. But, and Matt, you'll know about these small town things. His parents live in town, and of course they've been apologetic when they've run into her and tried
right.
to be
brothers, sisters, shit like that, right?
Right. Well, yeah, she didn't mention that, but she did say his parents, and you know, the parents said that he was very remorseful, because I asked her, you know, I was interested to know if he felt any remorse at all or if he was just a sociopath. But she said that, you know, they said that he did have a lot of remorse. But I guess the thing that bothers me, and I was talking about this on your show last night when you were talking about bold moves, and I was talking about connecting different things. The point is, you know, sober in jail, he may be remorseful, but if he gets out, the minute he picks up a drink or a drug, he's not him anymore. He's the one who did what he did to her.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, you know, I mean, all the bets are off for whatever he has had to say or feel, because, you know, that's another reason why people will drink or use or self-medicate. He might be in a pity pot, you know, having a pity party about the time that he served and that he wished he wouldn't have done that and all this and that. And those are the kinds of feelings if he hasn't been treated adequately in prison, and then be very, 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 very committed to staying in some kind of a program from the minute he gets out of prison. That,
well, real quick on the interrupting, you know how I am by now. And it might not possibly be her. It might be somebody else. It might be my daughter. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Somebody down the road.
Yes, and that was one of the things I said to her when I was talking to her about being on the show, is, you know, that hopefully he would know enough to leave her alone, since she's got a protective order on him. And if he does violate it and the cops are on her side, he will go to jail for 10 years. So if he was a smart creep, he'd date someone else, you know, and just stay the hell away from her, because crossing her at all could land him back in jail for 10 years. But, you know, that was one of the things that I said to her, you know, is that it could be your friend, you know, could be your friend's daughter, that, you know, somebody who does this usually repeats that behavior. So I don't know. I hope that he got involved in some kind of a 12-step program or got born again or something in prison, anything that will help, I guess.
He might have, so he could get out of his cell room for a few hours.
Well, and I've heard of that too. I've got a buddy who wrote a book about the same time I did, and it's called what's it called? God Is in the Meeting. And this guy lives in he lives in Texas, I think, I don't even know where, but he lives in Texas, and he takes 12-step meetings into the prison. And that was one of the comments he made. And of course, I'm so far removed from prison, I wouldn't have even thought of it. But But yeah, there's a lot of guys that go into those meetings, and whether they're 12-step meetings or church meetings or whatever, not necessarily because they have true intent, you know, to change, but just because they want something to do, you know.
Right.
Well, Kim, I want to tell you something very quickly. I just sent you an email of the Love Shouldn't Hurt flyer from our last one, which was in, I believe, in March. But my supervisor, Cindy Anzik, she's a one powerful dynamo when it comes to domestic violence. She's helped a lot of people. I mean, she really walks the walk and talks the talk. And at our two main offices of Walton Options, we actually have five in different locations over a large area. But the two main, one, Augusta, Georgia, one, Aiken, South Carolina, we both were put on two domestic violence seminars together, one in each state at the same time. And there's usually anywhere from 50 to 80 people there, and the police and the security are around it. We don't even tell where we're meeting at, because sometimes the perpetrator of domestic violence will try to seek out and find them or the children and harm them. My friend, she was shot multiple times by her husband when she was pregnant, and she's a domestic violence survivor, and she nearly died, and she was 9 months, 8 or 9 months pregnant when the husband tried to kill her. And, I mean, she has a story of forgiveness which is beyond belief. I don't know how she can do it. I don't know if I could like she can. And her story should be a national story, like this lady that you've been talking with tonight. I'd like them to meet each other, Cindy and my friend Josephine. It's a very powerful story.
Yeah, I would too. And I don't have email on this computer, but I'll see it in the morning and correspond with you about that, because I think another thing that we're good for, and we talked about that last night on your show, is the networking, and I think it would be really helpful to connect these two ladies for their own good and for, you know, the power in numbers that the two of them might, you know, maybe Gina will get involved with what your friend is doing.
And related to all of that is she's a guardian ad litem, which tries to protect the children of the people with domestic violence. And I have seen a lot of the people that she has to almost rescue. I mean, not just her, but she's one of the top guardian ad litems in our state. And, I mean, some of the families you meet the dregs of society below the dregs of society that you hear stories about that will make your skin crawl. I don't want to go too far back because I know it's late and I don't want anybody to have bad dreams or anything. But she really does walk the walk, and she's a wonderful person to talk to.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, well, and that was thoughtful of you to not tell us scary stories before
yeah.
we go to bed. Gina's was probably enough for tonight, but there's another show if you're ever interested. It was a 30-minute program when I was doing my freebie show in the summer, but when you search Blog Talk Radio, it's In a Flash Recovery Now. That was my show before, and in the summer, I'll have to look for the link for anyone who's interested, or if you're just browsing out there. I did interview the gal who was the director of the WCA, and I wanted to take a different twist on domestic violence. Everybody is pretty hip to knowing about the hitting and the physical violence now, and so what I chose to interview this woman on was the psychological violence, emotional violence, and I found that to be a very productive interview, because I think a lot of people don't even realize that they're being abused. They think because they haven't been hit that they're not being abused, and there's some awful emotional and verbal abuse that goes on that is every bit as damaging as physical abuse. So that was a very interesting interesting interview for anyone who might be interested. Matt, I just muted you something. I think it was Matt. There was some going on in the air
and all those things.
So hopefully Matt's okay and not falling over again. And I'll unmute you in a minute when you're fixed, but you were crackling up. And Keith Anthony, you're a little in a fishbowl tonight.
What do you mean?
Well, you're not right this minute, but when you were talking before, your mic was kind of going in and out. It sounded like you were talking in a fishbowl.
Oh, I see. That's because I've got trouble with my internet provider. I'm getting very narrow bandwidth and sometimes nothing at all because of noise that's being picked up from the building where I live. It's called rain, and it's caused by people's skyboxes that are malfunctioning. But unfortunately, there are 28 apartments here. I don't know which one is doing it. So I've got a negligible service most of the time. It takes days just to open a browser.
That's just started happening in the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Because I've heard you mention that before in the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's actually been going on for 3.5 years, but more recently it's been getting worse and worse.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what's different, because your sound quality has always sounded perfect, but you've mentioned that lately about having trouble getting on and stuff because of your bandwidth being screwed up. Talk to the super. You got one of those in the building?
We have somebody who owns a building. It's a housing association property, and we can't get them to fix the lights, let alone the problems with my broadband. They're not interested. It's nothing to do with them. They say things like, you know, very useful things like, Mr. Taylor, we don't make you stay here. Move out if you don't like it. And this is a racial thing because I'm white and they're black. I hate to say it because I've got black cancer myself, but they can't see it, of course.
Well, maybe you should wear a print on your shirt, one of those.
I'm as black as they are except for my skin.
Well, I will say that is not a high mark for customer service at your building. But in any case, well, we're coming down to the last 5 minutes. I think what I'll do is close out the show with another song by John Cruise called Hearts for Eyes, if you want to listen to that, do. If not, I will look forward to seeing you on Frank's show tomorrow, and then we have another open night on Friday. I might check with Craig and see what he's going to do about that. I got a couple ideas, or if anyone else has decided to do it already. We'll see what's going on, but I've been tired and hoping to catch up. We're remodeling that bathroom of ours that started today, and they were here from 6:45 in the morning, and they left at 8:00 tonight. And if you don't think juggling 4 dogs while 3 men were in and out of my house all day, it was just a day from hell. I thought I was going to nod off. I told my husband he had to keep talking to me. I said, I'm so tired, I don't even know how I'm going to do this interview tonight. I said that it's really important, but I had no idea when they said it gets that their part of it gets done in one day, that they meant a 24-hour day. I thought they were talking like an 8-hour day, and it was just a heck of a day. But anyway, I'm going to play the song, and that'll take us into the end of the show. So I want to thank you guys all for your support and for being here tonight, and your friendship means a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you. I just want to say, Kim, you give me a high level to achieve my program tomorrow night. It's going to be on the subject of money and what money means and how people don't understand the concept of money and what it's meant to be and what the heck is going to happen to our economy. It's going to be a different kind of show than yours, but you set the bar pretty high for me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top you or match up to you, but I will do the best I can tomorrow night. So I just want to invite everybody to listen to my show tomorrow night. Thank you.
Well, I think it'll be a really good show, Frank, and I was a financial consultant for 25 years, so I'll be checking on you.
Okay, thank you.
We always need more money, so.
That's right. Unfortunately, I don't have that particular song on here, nor do I have the permission to play any of that. Was that Pink Floyd or somebody who sang
that
song?
That's what I was thinking, Money by Pink Floyd, or Money, That's What I Want by the Beatles, or
who did it? Money.
Money.
Wow. All right, you guys. Well, good night. This is John Cruz, Hearts for Eyes, and we'll see you at Frank's tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim.
Good night. Thanks, Kim.
Bye-bye.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that Future Health can help make weight loss resolutions come true? When it's about biology and not willpower, it's not your fault that dieting just doesn't work. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes and for less than $3 a day. Traditional diets don't work because nearly 70% of weight is genetically determined. Through medication, you can work with your body rather than against it to create safe and long-lasting weight loss results. I have a family member that's been struggling with her weight for quite some time. No matter how hard she tries, no matter how limited her food intake, she just can't get the weight off. Well, with Future Health, they make access to qualified doctors that know GLP-1s easier than ever. Get ongoing support from over 6,000 physicians and licensed pharmacies nationwide. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes at tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at doctor's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.